Well, hello everyone, and welcome to session three of Unoffendable Love. And what I hope is that so far as you're going through this course, that you're being awakened to an invitation that the Lord is giving you to live an unoffendable life, that you'll be so full of love and so full of his goodness and kindness to others, and that all your reactions will be in love, where you can speak the truth and receive his wisdom and become a solution. So I'm very excited for you. And, you know, sometimes if we make the commitment and say, yes, I am choosing to make this my greatest aim in life. I have one aim, and that is to learn how to love and to be unoffendable in that love. And it'll be such a delight to move towards that goal and to see it fulfilled. Your family will be happier. Your, you know, just yourself, you will be happier. And the relationships around you will be fed by the love that flows from you. What a way to live. It'll be amazing. So we're going to open in prayer right now, and then we're going to get right into session three, because we're going to talk about today those that were offended with or at, all the vulnerable places that we have in our lives to take offense, right? So once we know that, we can close those doors and we can be aware. Awareness is really powerful, because I wasn't aware of how offended I was. But once I became aware, then I could overcome. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I just pray for those that are engaging in this study right now, that you would pour your life into them, pour your love into them, and bring awareness, Lord. And that even today, doors will be closed, doors of choice where they say, yep, I'm not going to be open to being offended in that way anymore. I'm going to be open to loving well in those situations. And so, Lord, we need you to help us, to guide us, to nurture us. We welcome you, Holy Spirit, to fill us afresh and teach us how to love well. Amen. All right. Well, let's dive in. And you can go to your notes, and we're looking at session three, targets of offense. And so we're going to look at just kind of groups of people or scenarios that you might find yourself vulnerable in. So the first category is individuals who have failed us or hurt us. Sometimes when, well, all the time, when we go through life, there isn't a person amongst us that hasn't been hurt by another person. By the same token, we have also hurt others, right? I mean, you just can't get through life without it. So it's not an issue of whether someone will fail you or hurt you, but the question is, how are we going to respond when they do, right? So we're going to look at this category about, first of all, imperfect people hurt one another, right? And we all have these imperfections. And that's why I love giving grace to those who hurt me, because I know that I'm very capable of hurting even when I don't mean it. I don't want to hurt someone else, but I'm capable of it if I'm not on guard and if I'm not walking in love. So human nature is imperfect. And as I said, just as we have been hurt and failed by others, we have hurt and failed others as well. So then we also see offense in family members, right? And it produces a wide range of consequences. So, for example, divorce courts are full of couples who are at odds against each other, who cannot move forward, who have chosen to end and terminate their covenant, because things have gotten too tense. But if you look at the root of it, most of the time, you will find offense that got in there and wasn't properly dealt with or processed through. And I'm not putting blame or shame on anyone who has had to go through these tragic situations of separation and divorce. It is so painful. And it does take two people to come into agreement. But if two people would agree to resolve their issues and lay down offense and put love as their greatest aim, any marriage can be saved. And maybe you're watching this now and you're in a vulnerable place in your marriage, and perhaps there's a chance still that you and your spouse can make a decision to deal with past offenses and love each other and process things through, talk things through, maybe get the help that you need. Divorce courts are full in these days, and they've been hurt by each other. So unresolved wounds and the accompanying offenses that land on those wounds potentially destroy the marriage, destroy your potential, because every marriage has potential, and it destroys the family, especially if there's children involved, but it destroys your siblings, you know, it just affects everyone, but especially if you have children. So many children actually grow up in homes that are filled with offense. They watch their parents wound each other and retaliate with offense. And so as a result, the children get hurt by what they see and what they're subject to. And so ultimately, they learn to be offended by what is modeled in front of them. So now we've got family after family after family. If we don't nip this in the bud, and if we don't learn how to live with unoffendable love, then families are going to suffer. Families will suffer. But we can stop it right now. We can start right now to say, hey, let's start on a clean slate. We've been offended. We've had wrong models. We've created an environment of offense in our home. We tolerate offense in our home, but we're going to change that now. Now, in another lesson, I'm going to help you know how to walk through and create an environment of love and overcome your offense. But right now, I just want the Holy Spirit to bring awareness to you. Like, is this something that your family needs help with, or your marriage needs help with? Okay. So this is an area of families. There can be individuals who have failed you. There can be offenses in families that can destroy the families and be hurt by family members. And that includes, of course, siblings and parents and children. You can be hurt and wounded by so many people, especially those that are close to you. But we have to learn how to handle that in a different way than just choosing offense. It's easy to be offended and even not talk about it or process it or bring it to the cross, but we're going to learn how to overcome that. Okay, thirdly, there are offenses within churches. Unfortunately, we see churches all across the nations filled with offense, and the church should be offense-free. We should be living in unoffendable love in every single church in the nation. We should raise the bar so that we have a value of living with unoffendable love, that we just don't tolerate it within churches. But unfortunately, there is offense within churches. And you'll see people offended with their pastors or their leaders or the choices their leaders are making or the teachings their leaders are giving, or they're not up to the standard that they want their leaders to live in. And you'll find congregation members get offended with one another and put up walls and start judging each other or are jealous towards each other. And you'll find maybe leaders being offended with their congregation. It just goes on and on and on, and it has to stop. And it can stop with you. Like I said, we don't have to wait for the whole world to change. You can change. You can raise the bar in your life and say, I'm going to make love my greatest aim, and I have a goal to live with unoffendable love. I refuse to take offense. And if I do slip into it, if I do make a slip on it, then I'm going to repent and be cleansed and make that right. Okay? That's what we can do. And if you do it, and then the next person does it, and then you're sharing how you did it, and it piques someone else's interest, and they do it, before we know it, we can fill the earth with unoffendable love. You can start with you and raise the bar in your family, and then you can take it into your church and take it into your workplace and set the bar high, and let's change the world. But it starts with us. Are you willing to change? Okay. Don't allow offense to bring you down. And that means to rob you of your destiny purpose, to rob you of your joy, to rob you of your abundance, your prosperity, all the good things that God has for you. Don't let offense bring you down. You see, love will exalt you, but offense starts to destroy you, and it will come after everything. And I want to say this too. This is a specific word of caution that I've seen in my years of being a minister. I've seen a tragedy take place. Now, if you are a caregiver or a counselor, a deliverance minister, someone who ministers in inner healing, and you are listening to people's painful situations, you especially need to have it resolved in your heart that you will live with unoffendable love. Because you see, you're going to hear stories of people's pain. And if you don't have your own goal established, you know what's going to happen? You're going to take up their offense. You're going to get offended at the way that they were hurt. Now, I had someone come to me after they had had some prayer with a counselor. They had gone to see a counselor and had shared how a leader was over their life had hurt them tremendously. And the leader had made some wrong choices, okay? This was brought out later where the leader and this person were able to reconcile. But when they went into the counselors, they were sharing all the things that the leader had done to them and why they were hurt by that leader. So as a counselor or as a deliverance minister, as an inner healing minister, or as a caregiver, it is good to be a good listener, but you need to listen with Jesus' ears, you know, and that's got redemption in it, to bring healing to the person, but also to the situation and help them not to be offended. But you can't help them not be offended if you take up an offense. So this counselor was listening to them, and the person came to me afterwards and they said, yeah, when I told this counselor what this person had done to me, they were so upset with that leader in my life. And they said, that should never happen. That is immaturity. That is bad. That is abusive leadership. And they actually started taking up a strong offense against this person's leader. And so you see what happens there now. This is encouraging the offense in the one that came to receive ministry. But now the counselor as well has offense operating in their life. So now we've just escalated the problem. You cannot do that because you're feeding the enemy. You have to resolve in your heart that you are not going to take up offense. Now, what happens is that later on, that person and their leader reconciled and everything was fine, because the thing is, everyone has a story. And when those two people, when that person and their leader got together, they both shared their heart and their perspective. And they heard things from each other that they didn't understand previously. And the lights went on in both of them. They're thinking, oh, wow, this is good. I've seen this happen over and over and over again. I could give you scenario after scenario after scenario. So what happened is those two people reconciled and they had peace with one another and they understood each other now. But the counselor who wasn't seeing them with this person anymore, they're still living with that offense. They took the offense in themselves and they let it connect to other bitter areas in their life. So it makes them ineffective as a counselor, makes them ineffective as a deliverance minister or as an inner healing or as a caregiver. So I have a specific caution to you that when you're listening, and you might be just a friend listening to your friend's issues, definitely be a good listener. But do not take up their offense. Do not come into agreement with it. You see, when we have peace, then we can listen to the Lord for his wisdom. Lord, this seems like an injustice. So how can we address this in love? How can we confront it in love? How can we speak the truth in love? How can we set some boundaries in love? How can we do everything in love? But you won't be able to hear God's love voice if you've chosen offense. Remember the five transgressions in offense. There's anger there. There's bitterness. There's unforgiveness, there's judgment, and there's pride. So all those things start to work within your life, and none of those things will bring a godly solution. So beware. Okay, another group is that we can be offended with those who are not living up to our standards, okay? That we want a greater standard. So we think, why are you doing it that way? You should be doing it this way because that doesn't have excellence to it. You know, it should have excellence. And we start making these little judgments and offenses within our heart or in our mind. We might even never say it, but we're thinking it, right? But you see, what's in your heart is what defiles you. That is what is going to hurt you. And eventually it will come out of your mouth. So we want to put a guard on that. We want to be careful. Now, I want to share some scenarios with you because, you know, it's not unusual for there to be this offense with those not living up to standards. Like as a parent, you've probably done that to your children. Take up offense against your children who didn't do the job right, or didn't do their chores properly, or didn't bring in the right marks. You know, this is very common, unfortunately. It's common that that happens. It could be employers offended with their employees. It could be teachers offended with their students for not bringing it up, or sports coaches with their athletes that they're coaching. You know, it could be any one of these and many others is that you're looking for a standard. Now, a married couple who actually started out their relationship, they fell in love with one another and they were smitten by love for each other. And they started going together and then eventually they got engaged and planned for their wedding day. And they were so excited about their life together. They dreamt of growing old together and all the things they wanted to do once they got married and the family they wanted to have. And so they were just so in love. And on their wedding day, there's the bride walking down the aisle, never looking so beautiful. She was radiant. And she's looking at the groom that she is going to give her life to down at the front of the church. And her heart is just beating. And he's looking at her. His heart's coming out of his chest. And they're so in love. And they connect and they share their vows. They say their I do's. They covenant together for this beautiful life that they're going to share together. And then they go on their honeymoon, have this beautiful honeymoon together. I mean, they were just in love. Well, then they get home and they start living their life together. And in the little areas of life, they discover some things about each other. So the husband, he happens to be very meticulous. And his wife knew this, you know, that he had, you know, meticulousness as a value. But I guess she didn't realize fully how meticulous he was. So in his closet, for example, he had everything lined up in his closet perfectly, all the shirts and the sleeve creases all down there. It was all color coded. Everything hung perfectly. In his drawer in the bathroom, everything was in its proper place. Everything was, you know, in its right bin in the category. In the kitchen, he had all the vegetables in one bin, the fruit in another bin, the meat and, you know, cheeses and that in another one. He had everything lined up perfectly. And she was kind of more of a creative person. He understood that and enjoyed her creativity, but he didn't realize how it was going to work out in an everyday living situation. So when she threw off her clothes, she didn't hang them up all neat and tidy. She just threw them on the floor. When she brushed her teeth, she just squeezed the toothpaste and, you know, put it on the toothbrush and left her toothbrush on the counter and, you know, went about her day and threw the bed together and, you know, just, you know, she was a creative, free-spirited personality. And when she was putting food away in the fridge, she just stuck it in there wherever it fit would work. You know, she never thought about putting everything in order. So he was a little bit concerned about this and lovingly gave her instruction and said, no, when you squeeze your toothpaste, you need to squeeze it from the bottom up and roll it up as it empties out. So it's nice and neat. And you need to put your toothbrush away. This is where it belongs. And when you take your clothes off, you need to hang them up. And when you put the food away, it needs to be this way. And she really tried. She loved her husband and she wanted to do, but it was her nature. You know, she just defaulted to her creative nature. Well, then he started to irritate her a little bit because he was always on her case, constantly on her case, you know, picking up this and doing this. So she got a little bit, irritated, which went into this offense that she had in her mind at first. And he had an offense with how sloppy she was. And they were both carrying it in their hearts. And then it started to be spoken out. And they started raising their voices with each other and then started having arguments with each other. And instead of love flowing, they're offended with each other and they're holding on to these judgments. And she's judging him for being, you know, compulsively focused, and he's judging her for being sloppy. And inside they've got these judgments and this offense brewing that started filling up other areas and started to destroy their love walk. Well, over the years, the offense is just built, because once offense gets embedded into your heart, it grows. It just doesn't stay a seed. Oh no, that seed sprouts, it grows, and it starts to infect other areas of your life. So years down the line now, they are having real issues and their marriage is under strain. They're not enjoying each other and they didn't know how to choose love or resolve their issues or process well together and give each other the grace that they needed. And so years down the road, they find themselves in a counselor's chair because they're contemplating separation and divorce. Now, how did it get to that? Here they were loving each other with everything they had, talking about growing old together, all the life that they're going to share, all the dreams that they shared. They're so excited about all these things. And through offense over where you squeeze the toothpaste, where you put your clothes when you take them off, or which bin you put the vegetables in, started enough offense to bring them to a place where they want a divorce. Wow. That is the power of offense. So beware. And it can happen in any relationship. It could be, you know, like I said, if you're coaching an athlete, or if you're mentoring someone in their spiritual walk, we have to choose not to get offended. Grace will cover the areas that people just aren't making it. You could be, you know, playing a game with a, you know, and you've got a team member. Let's say you've got two teams and you're playing a game together and you get offended with those on your team that just aren't making the mark the way that you think they should. And before you know it, you're spewing out offense and you're upset and it's ruining everyone's fun. It can be as subtle as that, right? But if we choose, if we make a choice to live unoffendable and to be loving and gracious and kind, no matter what, and you have to practice it. This doesn't come easy. It needs to be practiced, but it'll make your life so beautiful and everyone else is beautiful as well. Okay, the next category is sometimes we're offended with those that we fear. So when you're afraid of someone, you feel powerless. And remember I said earlier that when you are offended, it makes you feel powerful, right? Offense makes you feel powerful. It makes you feel like I've got a right to think down on someone else. And so you take that condescending position and it makes you feel like you're above and not beneath. But it is a deception, because offense isn't powerful. It makes you actually powerless. Right? It's a deception. It's like it makes it look like it's something it's not. So when you're afraid of someone, maybe you're afraid of someone's control. And so you have this judgment going on inside, this bitter judgment, and you're offended with them. It makes you feel like you have power over their control, but you're not. You're actually just feeding it. You're actually just proving to yourself that you're afraid of it. Now, perfect love casts out fear, and faith has to operate in order to overcome what you fear. Okay. But when you are in offense, it destroys your faith and it destroys your love. And so that's why it doesn't work. So using as an example, many years ago, when the homosexual agenda started coming into society, and we're seeing it, you know, unfold more and more and more, when it emerged aggressively, a lot of people responded to it in fear. They felt out of control. They thought, wow, just a minute, something's coming in and changing, trying to change our thinking, trying to change our culture, trying to change our beliefs, trying to change our moral convictions. And it made many feel powerless, and they were afraid of the outcome. And so instead of being able to take a stand according to their convictions in love and speaking the truth in love and looking for solution that would bring forth the fullness of their conviction, they went into what it was called hobophobia, which is a fear of that agenda. And it was all based on offense. And so I've had people that I have connected with that were in homosexual lifestyle that I was trying to share the love of God with. And they would say things like, you know, why do you Christians hate us? Why are you so cruel to us? And I had to ask them, what makes you think that that is true? And then they shared these horrible things that have happened to them. And I realized that those offenses, those things that happened out of offense toward them, were because of fear, not out of love. And so I was able to share in love with these individuals how God felt about them and why, according to the Bible, we believe that those kind of choices are harmful to an individual, because God is, like I said, this is our handbook for life, and He is our creator. And so He knows how we need to live our life. And if we live it in a way that will destroy this vessel, He doesn't want that, you know, so we can explain those things, but in love to them. And many of them said, I didn't understand it that way. Now I can see it. Now I get it. And they would start to receive the love of God. But before that, you see, they became offended in reaction to those who were offended with them. And so fear, if you've got fear operating in you and you're afraid of an individual, you'll probably operate in offense. If you're in your flesh nature, you'll operate in offense towards them, which will not help it. It will not help overcome the situation. It will not raise the bar of your conviction. And it's always good to share your moral convictions, especially according to the scripture. But if there's no love in it, if it's not unoffendable love, then it's not going to help people. It's going to hurt people, right? And so we need to ask the Lord, what does love look like? And again, you know, we will share some more on that later, because offense can offer that false sense of strength and power, but really it'll just weaken you. You need to overcome fear-based offense with faith, believing that God is greater than anything that you fear. He is greater, and He is in you. The great one is within you. It says, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. And who is that great one in you? Love. And love is more powerful than anything else in the universe. It is so powerful. Love. God is love. And He is the most powerful being in the universe. And that makes you powerful when He's living in you. He will provide the victory for you. Another group that we can hold offense towards, or that we see it operating, is because of government leaders and political parties. So it is common, very common, to find offense in individuals who have strong political biases. And I want to say, beware, because this includes Christians. And I want to say that when you're a Christian, the kingdom of God, the invisible kingdom of God, has a government. Jesus Christ is the king. It is a kingdom. It is not a democracy. It is a kingdom. We have a king who rules, and He is a good king. He is love, and he rules through love, and he's going to rule for all eternity. He is our eternal king. And the system of government that is upon his shoulders that will never, never diminish and never end, that kingdom is the government that we ultimately live under. So the world system of government is not the kingdom. It is what governs the nations in the natural. Now, when we live our life in Jesus, and when we promote his word and his values, his goodness, then that is going to influence the world that we're living in. And if we have government leaders who are committed to Jesus and his kingdom values, that is amazing. But a politician in himself and a political system in itself or a political party is not going to save any nation. And we can't expect a politician to be a savior or a political party to be a savior. And what we get mixed up in oftentimes as Christians is that we get sucked into a vortex of deception that says, you know, if you get the right political party, you're going to have it. Now, every political party has certain values in it that do line up with kingdom values, but not all of them. And this is for every party. And there are some party policies that we will agree with and some party policies that we will not. And the other aspect is that some parties have values, but they're not carried out. And that's probably in every political party. So it's a flawed system. So if we are getting offended with a political leader or a political party, it is so futile. Not only is it going to hurt us or the others that hear our offense, because it's going to spread offense into the nations, it is absolutely going to work against us and not for us. And it's not going to achieve anything. So you will find a high level of offendability in political campaigns amongst politicians as they're campaigning these days. Especially when you hear the campaigns, they don't even tell you what they're doing, really. They tell you how bad their opponent is. They will put down, they'll slam their opponent, they'll breed offense against that opponent because they're hoping if you hate the opponent enough, you'll vote for them. And at the end of the day, you don't even know what they're standing for, hardly. You just know what they're against, right? So that is based on offense, and it poisons the nation. It will never build a nation. It will defeat a nation. And the enemy knows that. And that's why he fuels it, especially in political campaigns. He will fuel offense because he knows if he can get the whole nation offended, he can take it down. It can be conquered. And so there's this high level of offendability amongst political leaders who are campaigning, but also those who support those leaders or oppose them. They get offended with one another. Okay. So often you'll hear a candidate's political speeches filled with that which promotes offense. So beware. Okay. Now in the Bible, we're instructed to pray for our leaders, not to spread offense, right? In 1 Timothy 2:1-3, it says to pray for kings and all those who are in authority so that we can live our lives in peace, right? That's what's going to bring peace to the nation is when we pray. And I'll go into more of that later and show you some very chilling examples of what God did in Bible days and how he positioned his people in Bible days. Remember that offense will always tear down and it will destroy and weaken nations. It will destroy the people who are offended, but it'll also put offense in the atmosphere and it just will be a negative environment to live in. And heaven is not a negative environment. It's positive. It's full of love. You don't want to live in an environment of fear and violence and hatred and bitterness, but that's what offense feels. And so again, you are responsible because if you're offended and you're releasing offense into the atmosphere of your nation because you're offended with a politician or because you're going on social media and spewing out offense, you're contributing to making the environment of your nation polluted with bitterness, hatred, negativity, fear, all those things. You started it. You know, it starts with you, but it can end with you as well. And instead of doing that, you can dispel it by moving in the opposite spirit. Okay, another target of offense is denominations, churches, and church movements. Yes, I'm talking to you believers. It is terrible, actually, to see. It's so unfortunate to see the comparisons and judgments that are triggered by offense towards each other in the body. So you'll have people saying that denomination, it is, you know, this and that, and they'll start spewing out offense against the denomination. And then another denomination will spew offense against that one. And in the days that we're living in, we especially have, specifically, I've heard this a lot of, we'll have people like myself, because I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. And I believe in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. I believe in all that the Bible teaches and all the good things, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit, and miracles, signs, wonders, the prophetic, all of that. I believe in all of that. So I am bold in the Holy Spirit, okay? So there are people that believe as I do and are passionate about the Holy Spirit who will be offended, for example, at a seeker-friendly church. Now, a seeker-friendly church, they dial down all the power, the gifts, and all of that. They dial down to reach people on a level where they will come in and be comfortable to come in and hear the gospel. Now, if that is led by the Spirit, maybe the Spirit's leading people, because some believers would never enter a church that would be operating in miracles and speaking in tongues and interpretation of tongues and prophetic, might scare them or whatever. So what if God supports a seeker-friendly environment for those that are just coming in, and so that they can get saved and then grow on from there into the more? Because you'll always be hungry for more. I mean, I'm always hungry for the more, and most Christians get hungry for the more. So I don't know how God is leading each individual, but I don't want to judge them for it either. And if the gospel is being preached, we should be rejoicing that it's being preached. And if we would lay our offense down for each other and start to celebrate each other and maybe speak the truth in love and saying, you know, can I process with you? Because why would you not want to have more Holy Spirit? Or I've heard of the seeker-friendly churches being offended with Spirit-filled churches. They say, you guys are wacko, you know, this and that and the other. You do this, it's crazy. People can't relate to that. Well, maybe we need to sit down and hear each other's hearts. And maybe God's in all of it, as long as the gospel's being preached. I'm not talking about cults and that, but even with cults, you know, offense toward cults is not going to change them, not going to get them saved. But if we pray for them and love them with unoffendable love, then maybe whole denominations can be saved. Of cult denominations, you know. And so let's put our faith out. But when offense is operating, faith is not. And so we need to lay down offenses towards each other in the body. And sometimes you'll see it against even churches in your own community. One church will be putting down another church because of the doctrines that they believe or whatever. It's like, come on, let's stop this and let's celebrate each other in love and let God bring all the adjustments and the corrections. We can always submit our beliefs to one another. We can process with each other, but it has to be in love, unoffendable love. And love must be our motive and our focus. So let's lay down our offenses. Okay, another target of offense is cities, regions, and nations. Now, every nation, every city, every region has potential in God. And it says in Psalm 24 that all the earth and its fullness, it belongs to the Lord, right? It belongs to Him, and He created it all, and He created everyone in it. So He loves every city, every region. He loves every nation, and He wants you to love it too. He wants you to carry His love, and He wants you to see every area through potential. Now, In our city that we have here that I live close to, which is Phoenix, when we first moved there, there was an area of town that was very dark. It had a lot of drug addicts. It had a lot of people who were living corrupt lifestyles and a lot of lawlessness going on. And it was a dangerous area. There was a lot of crime and you know, even some murders took place down there. And so it was an area of town that had a stigma attached to it. And people were offended. They would speak offensive talk about that area of town. And so what our team did is saying, you know what? Let's go bring light into the darkness. Let's go reach out to the people. Let's reclaim the area. Let's bless it. Let's bring the blessing into it. And that's what we did. We performed outreach, and in no time at all, the area started to clean up quite a bit. Because they started putting helpful things in that area to help the people that were homeless and different things, and to monitor the lawlessness more. And it made a difference by loving it. You see, offense, it just condemns an area, but it doesn't help an area. So if you see an area that needs help, ask God for the strategy on what to do to help it. Now, I remember we were getting ready to do an outreach in a particular city in America. And I was talking with an individual as I was waiting to get into a hotel room, actually. And we were in the lineup waiting to register. And he happened to be from that particular city. And I said, wow, I'm going to be going to that city soon. It's my first time I've ever going there. And I'm very excited about it. And he says, oh, you shouldn't be excited. It's a hellhole. It is. And he started saying all kinds of bad things about it. There was a godforsaken city. And I thought, well, if it's godforsaken, we should bring God into it then. I said, that's what we're planning on doing. It's just bringing love. He said, no, not even God can help it. So he had an offense against his own city. He lived in that city, but he was offended with it. And so I tried to share with him how, you know, God loves his city and it has great potential, and maybe we can see it come into its fullness. Now, I did some prayer into that. I bound his offense and his curse words that were spoken over it. And then I started speaking blessing, and I had our whole prayer team. We prayed into that city for a long time. We went in there and we had revival meetings, and people were saved and healed, and the glory of God came. And we went out on the streets and preached the gospel everywhere, and people were touched by the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then we're able to see a hub established there out of those revival meetings. It was awesome. You know, and so there's so much potential, but it can only come if you lay down your offense and see the potential. My husband and I lived in a city in Canada that was known by many to be a cursed region, actually, because they used to speak over it. Oh, this is like the armpit of the region. It smells. It's just no good. It's just, it has no value to it. And those things were spoken all the time. In fact, when I told people where I live, they say, really? You live there? Oh, how can you stand it? You know, I would get that kind of talk because people were offended with that city. And I knew that we had to make a difference. I knew that we had to turn it around. So we loved the city. And we told it that too. We spoke into the spirit saying, I love you. I love you, and I'm going to help you be favored, that you will not be rejected, but you will be favored. And so we started to work on it and got some prayer teams together, and God gave us strategies and projects to do. And before long, the whole city transformed over a number of years, but it did transform. And so don't be offended. When we started going over to Cambodia, there was an offense towards Cambodia and the poor people from Thailand. They were even like children who had been trafficked for the sex trade and for organ donors and stuff like that, or organ trafficking. They had been trafficked from Cambodia into Thailand. And when we tried to address it in Thailand, at first, the Thai government didn't want to do anything because they said, yeah, but they're just Cambodians, you know, because that region was so offended against. There was so much offense against it. And so we had to change it, change people's mindsets. Okay. God wants every area to be loved and cherished and blessed. You know, we had a team recently that went over to Russia. And, you know, the media has portrayed a picture in many nations about offense towards Russia, offense towards Russia, its people, its nation. But when our team went over there, you know, we just had unoffendable love. And they began to see that a lot of what we heard on media wasn't even true. There was misrepresentation. And so if you take up the offense that media portrays, you're going to get the wrong impression, you know. And God loves Russia and loves its people. And I fell in love with Russia just as I was praying for our team over there. And our team fell in love with Russia. And they saw such amazing things. There was a big gathering in, you know, a mall, actually, a shopping center, 3,000 people gathering and people coming in off the streets into the gathering unhindered to hear the gospel. And they received miracles, signs, and wonders. It was just a totally different picture than what was painted through media. Media was trying to portray an offense so that the public that heard it would rise up in an offense against that nation. See, we can't go there. If we're going to be true kingdom people, kingdom of God people, I'm talking about with Jesus as our king, we have to learn to love as he loves, and he loves every nation and he loves every people, and they're all going to come around his throne to worship him. Amen. So we need to lay down our offense against nations and against ethnic or minority groups. That's the other one, ethnic or minority groups. So when you are offended with an ethnic group, then you are not loving. You cannot be offended and love at the same time. But you see, God loves every ethnic group. And furthermore, he loves every individual. And that is our call. Remember, with love being our greatest aim, that we are to love everyone equally. No one has more value in God's eyes than another. And so we need to be careful not to devalue individuals because of their ethnicity or, you know, because they're a minority group. We need to esteem everyone with honor because God created each of us beautiful and wonderful and lovely. And in our days, we have seen so much ethnic profiling. And it's like, oh, well, you know, they're just, you know, because they're this, they're probably going to commit more crime. Because they're this, they're going to do this. You know, because they're born with this color skin, they're going to act like this. That is so wrong. It is so demonic. And you know what it's born out of? It's born out of offense. It's born out of offense. And sometimes people are actually born into the mindset. Offense with its five transgressions is responsible for every form of prejudice. Offense. If you remove the offense, you remove the prejudice. You cannot have prejudice and be unoffendable at the same time, right? Because offense will cause the prejudice. So, and oftentimes they're passed down through generations. So a child is born into a family who has prejudice. They're offended with a minority group or with an ethnicity. And so all their children and those in their family, they grow up believing it. It's a mindset of prejudice. And it takes a while to break it. We need to be patient with one another. And so we have white Caucasians being prejudiced against African Americans or Black population, or against Hispanics, or against First Nations peoples, against Asians, you know, because we're in offense, which always puts you in a place of pride where you think you're better than another, right? You're condescending upon these groups, but we can have anyone in that group being offended with each other, or there's lots of offense against Caucasians. I have ministered in nations and lived in nations where there was offense against Caucasians, and they had names for us and they looked down on us and they were upset with us. There was offense there. But God doesn't want any of us offended with each other. He wants us to value each other. That's what unoffendable love will do. And if someone in an ethnic group is lawless or performing evil deeds, then we're going to pray for them and confront the evil with love and with truth. We're not going to condone it, but we're going to do our best to see them turn around, because in unoffendable love, there's redemption, right? We always think of trying to help them come into a better place. And remember, as we've already discussed, to separate the person from the transgression. We can have our wrath, our righteous indignation against a lawless act, but we remove it off the person because we want to try and rescue them or love them to life or give them what they need to come free wherever possible. Okay, another targeted group is the people we are jealous of. Whoa. In 1 Corinthians 3:3, it says, "For since there is jealousy and strife among you," and that's like competition, are you not fleshly, and are you not walking like mere men? So what Paul's doing is describing a carnal Christian there, one who is controlled by their flesh nature and not by the Holy Spirit. And we see jealousy often operate in young children, but covetousness and jealousy and envy, it is found amongst adults. But if you're jealous, you've got a fence operating in you, and that needs to be dealt with. So those that you're jealous with are target of your offense. Now, what about our life and the situations that we're living in? Sometimes it's not even so much people that are our target, but it's the situations. But if there's offense brewing up in you, remember that offense is going to hurt you, and it's not going to help the situation. It is going to destroy your life. So you want to make sure that you don't have any of it in your life. So your situations and your status. So I've given you an example in your notes here of a woman who had opportunity later in her life to work towards her dream. She'd always had a dream of being a medical professional and had cultivated that dream for a couple of decades in her life. So when she was in her second year of training for this medical profession, her parents were in a serious car accident. And after they recovered enough to go home, she was told that her parents needed a full-time caregiver because they weren't able to look after themselves or to be put into a home. But she was the only one in the family who was single and willing to serve them in that capacity. So she abandoned her education and her dream and went to care for her parents. Okay. So she initially felt disappointment in other family members because they didn't rise to the occasion to help her. They all had an excuse as to why they couldn't help. And they weren't willing to serve. And so she allowed that disappointment to bring bitterness and to bring offense into her. It grew over time into a full-blown offense. And she was very resentful after a while that she had to disrupt her education and her career pursuit. And she also had wanted to be married, by the way, but because she was felt stuck being a caregiver for her parents, that was also hindered her desire to be married. So all those disappointments, they just increased the remorse, the sadness, but she got bitter and she got more offended in her life until she was very angry, critical, and judgmental of not only her circumstance, but everyone connected to it. And she was offended with family members who failed to help her. And then the more she was offended, the more they rejected her because they became offended with her because of her offense. And they tried to get self-protective, and it just spirals into a big mess. And at the end of the day, she was trapped. She felt trapped inside of something that she didn't feel she could get out of. Do you know what? There was a solution for her all along. If she had gone to the Lord and said, "Lord, I'm disappointed. And there must be something that could change this." You know, he would have given her a solution that would have worked well for everyone, but her offense hindered her from seeing the solution. And she grew bitter and old and angry and living with her unfulfilled dreams because of the bitterness in her heart. She had taken up offense. Okay, the next target, this is a big one. Some people target God with their offense because they believe that he didn't come through for them and he should have. And so they hold God in judgment with bitter offense in their heart towards him. Now, I realize that there are many who have their share of disappointments and sometimes very traumatic situations where the question is, God, where were you in this? I prayed, I decreed, I fasted, I did everything. And where were you in this? When I needed you, where were you? Can you hear the offense? Now, this is coming out of true pain. And it's good to go to God with our pain, to say, God, I just don't understand. I trusted you. And it doesn't look like you came through, right? And that's being honest. But you can be honest about your pain without being offended with God or judging him or being bitter towards him or being angry at him. You can own your pain and ask God to heal you of your pain. But what good is it going to do to you if you throw offense at him? If you're angry towards him, is that going to help you? Is it going to help you to remain in bitterness towards? Is it going to help you to lose your faith in God and to let him know, I'm not even going to believe in you anymore because you don't come through for me? Is that going to help you? God is still the same, loving, kind, good, in power. He's still God of the universe. Your bitterness is not going to remove him. Your lack of faith in him is not going to change him, but it will change you. And it will make you a bitter person in life. And that offense that is dwelling in you is going to destroy you. It'll destroy you internally. It's going to open you up for depression. It is going to open you up for illness, for mental and emotional instability. It is going to open you up to have your provision cut off. The devil will have a heyday with you because he sees your offense against God and he says, I got you. You're offended with him, that means you're mine. And he is a very cruel taskmaster. But if you keep your faith in God and you say, God, I don't understand. I don't understand, but I will continue to love you. I choose to love you and I choose to believe in you. And there's pain in the offering right now. When I offer my praise to you, there's pain in that because I don't understand it. And I need you to heal me because I'm hurting. Right now, I'm hurting real bad. And I need you right now. And then keep your stand, keep your place. Don't shift from it. Even though you don't understand, one day we'll all have understanding. One day we will. But if we don't have it now, we need to understand it's not God's fault. There is an answer that we are just not aware of right now. But one day we will have the full understanding and we will have peace. And we will see that the answer will include justice and righteousness. We will see that God was good. So let's continue to believe that he is, irregardless, because the option to be offended with God is just going to destroy your life. It will destroy your life. And because the enemy will take hold of that and he will bring you down big time. That's what he loves to do. But God, he is on your side. He is always on your side. And even if you stop believing in him, he's still with you. He still loves you. And nothing can cause him to pull that love away from you. So as we wrap this up then, do you identify with any targets of offense that have been mentioned in this chapter? And if not, be aware because they will show up from time to time. The temptation to target them will come. But you are going to live with unoffendable love because that's who you are. And God is raising the bar in your life to make you the most beautiful person and will be just like him. Okay, here's some discussion points for you. What are the long-standing consequences of offense within families. And again, if you're taking this course on your own and, you know, you're not discussing it with others, maybe you could even discuss these things around your family dinner table, or at least ponder them in your heart yourself. How does it affect children when they witness offense in their parents, not only toward one another, but towards others as well? Secondly, how has offense affected our government on all levels? And how can we be part of the solution, bringing about positive change? Number three, what are some examples of being offended with God, and in what ways would they affect our lives? That's a good conversation to have, and to maybe pray for those areas that are. Okay, and number four, have any of these targets been a struggle for you? How has this chapter motivated you to overcome these offenses? And you know, this is a good time to pray, you know, in your activation, you know, as you are looking over your own heart, you know, just realize that these things have probably happened to you in any group. You can be open to it, and determine now that participating in those offense-focused conversations is a non-negotiable for you moving forward. And if you do, you'll catch it and make it right. And pray that you will immediately feel an alert when this begins to happen. And pray for God to heal you of even all the areas that have already happened, and to forgive you of all the offense you've already carried. You can repent of it as the Holy Spirit brings you conviction. Ask for his wisdom regarding what you can do. Just go through these prayers, right? Ask him for wisdom regarding what you can do to shift the conversation in a way that is life-giving and non-judgmental. And whenever necessary, consider what a subtle exit strategy would look like if you no longer wish to partake in a conversation. And then ask God to free you from a spirit of offense towards those who often express offense. Okay, so this is your lesson for today. I just thank you for engaging in this with me, and let's just raise the bar, right? And pray now, pray for God to just fill you. Lord, just fill them with a fresh portion of your love, with a fresh infilling of the understanding of your love, that the height of your love, the breadth of your love, the width and the depth will be filled with a fresh revelation of who you are, Lord, in every single heart that is taking this course. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we'll see you for session 4. I'm looking forward to that.